This is exciting. We've been looking forward to this for a long time. Our next guest has had a film career of over 30 years and is getting the best reviews of his life recently with movies like Fury in 2014, earlier this year, American Honey, and the new film opening everywhere December 2nd called Man Down. Please welcome Shia LaBeouf to the Kevin Abeen Show, you guys. Hey, Shia.
It's an honor. It's an honor to be here. It's an honor.
How you been?
I'm excited, a little nervous, you know, but excited to be here.
You grew up on K-Rock?
I didn't grow up on K-Rock per se, you know, I came from hip-hop, but all the rock that I ever did find in my life, I mean, the first concert really I went to was Acoustic Christmas at the Universal Amphitheater, System of a Down, and I remember they shut the show down because the top balcony was about to fall on people.
Oh, that was
That's
so
when they were
scary.
Moshing on the second floor.
Yes, yeah.
And
the whole
dudes
balcony.
Are jumping off.
I remember.
There was a dude that jumped off the balcony.
There was no dude jumped off.
There was a dude who jumped off the balcony.
That's not true.
I'm telling you, there was a dude hanging off the balcony.
There was no dude hanging off? Or jumped off.
Hanged off the balcony.
This is important.
The top floor. At the top floor of the balcony. I remember.
I do remember turning around thinking that entire balcony is going
to
collapse.
That's not going to hold.
And thousands will be killed.
Yeah.
This is not the Christmas spirit.
Still like the best show I ever went to in my life, actually.
Shia, was that the year where System of a Down led the crowd in honor of the baby Jesus in an F.U. chant?
Yes.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
yes.
Nothing says Christmas like the F.U. chant.
I think they only had another year of doing shows after that, you know? I think it was like, you know, I was like the that was
yeah,
the
they
really
broke
special.
Up for a long time.
Yeah.
Are you blaming us?
No, no, I'm saying it was special. It was special to be a part of it.
Shia, we have so much ground we want to cover, so many things we want to talk about, including your outstanding new film, Man Down, which we will spend plenty of time on. But I want to ask, because you mentioned you grew up hip-hop. So you grew up, did you go to a school where with predominantly African-Americans, or how were you so ensconced in hip-hop so young in life?
Yeah, so I was in Echo Park before it became really the place to be, you know? Mm-hmm. And it was all Mexican down there. And so the equalizer was Tupac for me.
All right.
You know, and then they, you know, I started doing this actor thing and started meeting a bunch of kids from Orange County, and they started, that was a different influence. And so that's L.A., you know, L.A. is quite,
it's a melting pot.
Exactly. So all the rock that I ever, you know, the new rock, because my dad was Deep Purple, my dad was way into like that 80s hard rock stuff,
mm-hmm.
and all his biker friends would listen to music, but that wasn't the rock of my time. So I didn't get into, System of a Down was really my first rock band. And mm-hmm. and because
That's
they were
a pretty
Armenian,
strong way to start.
Yeah, and they were Armenian, and they were from Glendale. It just felt very accessible, you know. And so because we had Armenians at our school too, who were trying to look like Mexicans, and I was trying to look like Mexican. You know, we were all trying to fit in because none of us wanted to get jumped. It was a lot of fighting at my school. It was a public school, and if you were white, you got targeted. And this is in the 90s, you know.
Right.
So it was sort of like the way you could fit in was you had to break dance, you had to freestyle, you had to be able to snap on people. Yo mama jokes were big. These are the equalizers.
Now, I know you can freestyle, but can you dance?
No, not at all. I've tried.
Where did the acting bug bite you, Shia?
It was the only export available to me. Rapping was not reality, right? Because
not good enough to
I'm garbage.
You're good. I don't think you're garbage, but I don't know that anyone. Most people are not good enough to get out of their situation.
Right. So and there was no Eminem at the time, so it was sort of like, you know, this is not in the cards, my guy. And college was not in the cards because my parents couldn't afford it.
Mm-hmm.
And so it was either going to be you were going to be in a rock band or you were going to be an actor. And none of my friends played instruments at the time. They do now.
You have been if you had friends? You like music that much?
I love music, man. Yeah, yeah. That's the informs everything for sure. Yeah, it's huge.
So you decide you want to go into acting like thousands and thousands and thousands of other kids do in Southern California. Mm. What's your first big break?
I got an Oreo O's commercial. They were doing a cereal. It's when Oreos tried to get in the cereal business.
How old were you?
I was 10 years old.
Yes. Were you adorable, Sam?
I was super adorable, bro.
That's a strange question, but I like your answer.
And so then it's just climbing the ladder. You get one commercial, then you get another one, and then you, what, get a small part in a TV show, and the next thing you know, you get a bigger part in a TV show, and then it just goes from there?
You said it, yeah.
That was it, huh?
That was it.
And Even Stevens, which you were the star of for a number of years, right? That was a Disney show?
Yeah, it was.
So that's a big deal. That really puts you on the map in Hollywood.
Huge. Yeah, huge. But, you know, and you're 12 years old. See, Disney Channel wasn't cool, right?
Right.
If you listen to Kiss FM, you got beat up. You know, this is my neighborhood. So, like,
right.
So like you could be K-Rock if you were one of the skater kids, or you could be Power 106, but there was nothing else. There was nowhere else you could go, right?
Right.
And so Disney Channel was like Kiss FM. So I had to, like, hide the fact that I was on a TV show, you know? And my dad's in a Mongol biker club, so all the kids that I used to hang out with were really, like, you know, they came up in a certain kind of environment, and they weren't watching Even Stevens. You know, right. You're watching Pulp Fiction. So it was this weird disparity where my dad would drive me to set on the back of his motorcycle. I'd get off. My dad would sit in the lobby with all his friends, and then I'd go off and make this little kid show. It's super crazy, man.
None of his friends or him would ever come wonder what's going on there?
No.
You go do your thing. We're not going to be there.
Seriously.
Do you ride?
I did for a little bit, yeah, and then I messed my hand up, and so I find it harder to clutch now because my middle finger's all messed up. But, yeah, I used to ride quite a bit.
That was a lot of drama growing up for you,
Shia.
Really? It didn't feel like drama. If it was just life. It didn't feel
like drama. But a lot of identity crisis, though, it sounds like. A lot of trying to decide who you were and who your people were, right?
Yeah, but that's not – I mean, we all had that. You know, we all had that.
What about when Indiana Jones comes along and Transformers comes along?
Yeah.
I mean, those are huge, huge franchise movies.
Huge, yeah. I mean, you're grabbing onto a rocket ship, you know? It's an uneasy relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Were you scared of them?
Terrified.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're going to meet your heroes. You know, I used to – my mom was whispering in my ear when I was young, you know, because she's a – my mom's a true Jew, you know what I mean? One of them Jews who's proud of being Jewish for no reason, you know, like from nostalgia, who don't even go to synagogue.
Right.
And so she used to whisper in my ear, like, you'll meet Spielberg one day. It's before I even was trying to be an actor. And then you meet the dude and you're like, wow, man, this almost feels spiritual. Like,
wow.
This is above reality. This
Your
is
mom
something...
told you that at what age?
Oh, man, young, 3, 4, 5 years old.
She was lying to you at the time.
Yeah, for sure. Full blown. Straight
garbage.
She didn't
know, right?
No way. and even when I told her, she thought I was lying to her, you know? And then I brought her to set. They met each other. I mean, that stuff's crazy, you know? So yeah. Even if the movie turns out to be what it is, the life experience part, it was like, it felt spiritual. And that's not a great place to, you feel like you can't express yourself because you're terrified.
Right.
So like my least favorite work is with the dudes I respected the most, which is a strange thing.
That makes sense, though. If you're scared, you're just trying to not screw it up.
Roger. And then there's no freedom.
Right.
And it sounds like you're at a point now, and this is the voice of actor Shia LaBeouf here on the Kevin Bean Show. It sounds like you're at a point now where you are making the choices that feel right to you rather than trying to figure out a career path.
I think, yeah, yes, absolutely. I think for a long time, too, this job was economic. You know, you start making choices. You don't even, you just work to work because you're scared that it'll go away. And so it's hard to be patient in this business. You know, you're constantly dealing with like momentum shifts and things like that and trying to ride waves. And that's all that's the wrong way to go about making films.
Now, we've both seen Man Down. We're excited to talk to you about that. We're going to do it in the next break. But
okay.
We also have to talk about Actual Cannibal
Shia LaBeouf. It's important.
And you in the paper bag.
It's important.
You in the out in the middle of nowhere.
Oh, sure.
You got some weird crap going on. Sure. I almost screwed myself. We'll take a break. We'll be right back.
Director, actor, performance artist, Shia LaBeouf is in studio with us right now on the Kevin Bean Show on K-Rock.
Yes, you can! Let's do it!
We're doing it. We're doing it right now, Shia. Don't yell at us. The new film is called Man Down. It is in theaters everywhere on December the 2nd. There is a free fan screening tonight that you are going to be hosting at the Arclight in Hollywood, Shia.
Yep.
This is a pretty cool way to kind of meet your fans and have them see the movie for the first time with you.
Yeah, I think because, you know, like we got lambasted by critics. We showed our movie in Italy, and then this was at a time when it was really easy to poo-poo me, you know, because I had a bag on my head, and people were like, what's up with this dude?
I mean, you did have a bag on your head.
For sure. So and I also think, like, you know, film critics are a bit like wine tasters. You know what I mean? They don't crush the grapes, so it's they're a bit removed.
Right.
So we've just been showing it to soldiers, you know, and trying to get the cosign that way. And now we're showing it to some soldiers and some soldiers' families tonight.
That's funny because I didn't know any of that, and I watched it and loved it.
Cool. Cool.
And so did Bean.
Cool.
Yeah, the RSVP, by the way, if you want to go to the free screening tonight, it's mandownla@gmail.com. Mandownla@gmail.com. The screening is first come, first serve. You'll receive a confirmation email if you are confirmed for the screening. It's going to be tonight at the Arclight in Hollywood. You're going to be doing a Q&A post-screening with your director and the writer of the film.
Yes. Can I ask you guys a question?
Sure.
Have you ever had an actor come up here and they've asked you to watch the movie? Like, let's say Cuba Gooding Jr. came up here or something like that, right? And he's promoting Snow Dogs or something. And he's like, hey, guys, can you guys watch my movie?
Right.
And then he comes up and he's like, hey, man, you know, I work really hard. You know, I put the time in. You know, me and these dogs, we got a relationship and all this stuff. And then he's like asking you what you think about the movie. Have you guys have been stuck in weird spots like that?
Yes. Yeah, not only that, let me give you a different one. We've watched the movie. hated it, and then told the guest we didn't see it. Yeah, because, like, we don't want to be dicks,
that's
right?
Smart. No,
but
that's
we
the way.
Saw the movie,
that's
and we were
way.
Like, let's not even
yeah,
bring
yeah,
it up.
That's
let's
the way.
Let's
that's
say
the
we
way.
Didn't
right,
want
gotcha.
It.
That's the way.
But I think, to your Snow Dogs example, though, Shai, yeah. I think our way out would be, oh, those dogs were awesome.
Right.
You gotta find, you can find something positive about right. any movie.
Yeah, it's true, I guess.
This film, I think, is really, really important, This Man Down. Not only is it edge of your seat tense and beautifully acted. And by the way,
thanks,
let me
man.
Just say, you're in a room with Gary Oldman for a lot of this film.
Yeah. Just the two of you.
Just the two of you. And it is so riveting and compelling. I mean, as an actor and as a fan of your medium, what's it like to go toe-to-toe with the great Gary Oldman?
Well, see, this is incredible, right? Because he's a dude who I hold higher than Spielberg, right? Because he does what I do.
Right.
And so he's samurai level, master of craft. And
now what are you?
I'm, like, figuring it out, you know?
Okay.
But you get in a room with him, and you would think you'd get that Spielberg fear where it would inhibit you, but he is a charmer, man. He is a different type. He makes you better. You know,
so you're comfortable sitting across from him as good as he is.
Yes, because a fisherman can see another fisherman from afar, whereas a director has to do a different job. That dude has to do what I do, which is to reveal his soul. And I've seen him do it so often, I feel like I know him in a way that I didn't with Spielberg.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, hats off to both men, but this dude is like, Gary is the dude who, like, he just sets up the environment to where you can't lose. If you start feeling like the scene is going haywire, he won't wait for the director to come in. He'll start asking you questions that aren't on the page, and he'll get you there. He'll provoke you,
and then they'll
start the scene again.
Yeah, because there was a lot of that where he was trying to figure out your character's story and the background and your kid, and you were super uncomfortable talking about it.
Yes, and that's because he's poking at me.
Right.
So what you're seeing on screen is a mixture of our script and also him asking me questions like, why did you want to get into this? Why are you in this room with me? Do you think you're good enough? Things like that are, you know, now you're searching yourself. Now you're not even in a movie anymore. Now it's just two dudes in a room talking about truth. And then we get into the scene. So Gary likes to play a lot like that.
For people who haven't seen the trailer, explain to them your character and the situation that he finds himself in.
All right. Gabriel Drummer, he's a Marine who's, you meet him, he's getting ready to go to Afghanistan. And he's coming back from Afghanistan simultaneously, which is a trip. But he's trying to deal with how his job affected him. That's basically the gist.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to say any more either.
No.
You don't want to give it away because it's such a fascinating ride to sit there and try and figure it out along with, you know, Gary knows more than we do, his character, but
it's
a fun ride to figure out what's going on and at what time, and it's not confusing in the time travel part. It's not confusing
cool.
at all.
Cool. I think also Adam was trying to put people in the spot. You got a lot of these movies about PTSD where you're looking at it like it's an object, like from this objective place, whereas Adam wanted to put you in it, you know, make it a subjective thing so that you could identify with it.
What have you learned that you didn't know in doing the research of this movie and talking to Marines about PTSD?
Oh, boy. I know a lot of Marine history, you know, because they drill you. Or they'll smoke you, you know. If you don't know why they say when they go to sleep, you know, every night before you go to sleep, because I bunked with these dudes, they'd always say, you know, good night to fallen soldiers. And if you didn't know the names, then you would get smoked. And they just have you doing push-ups till 3 a.m. And you know, you eat with these dudes, you live with these dudes, they drive you to set. There was one dude in particular named Nick Jones Jr. who just became my heart. He's that big, huge black dude who sprays me.
Right,
you know,
yes.
OCOC.
Uh-huh.
So that dude, me and him just clicked up right away.
Is that real pepper spray?
Oh, yeah.
I'm not clicking with somebody that's pepper spraying me.
I mean, you know you have to do it, and you only want to be sprayed by somebody you love.
Okay, that makes sense. So as an actor in the movie playing a Marine in training, you allowed yourself to be actually sprayed with pepper spray in the face?
Yeah, man, yeah.
Being you know Shia.
Yeah.
Come on now.
Yeah, you know, I'm not like Gary. Gary can conjure things. Gary is a sorcerer. I'm just like an average dude, like a regular, run-of-the-mill guy who, I'm like a boxer. These are ordinary men with extraordinary determination. So I'm determined for it to be good, but I don't have some magical knowledge or skill set like a guy like Gary does.
So you almost do it out of fear that you're not a good enough actor.
100%.
Just spray me?
Yeah.
Wow.
And now it's gotten to the point where other people are doing this kind of thing to, like, prove that they're... I just don't even like talking about it anymore because it sounds like nonsense, but really it comes from a place of lack of faith in skill sets.
Right.
Insecurity.
Yeah, makes sense. Marines that aren't associated with the project, what kind of feedback do you get from them?
They love a movie.
They do.
Yep, period.
PTSD.
I'm mad at that. I do too. Yeah.
PTSD does not get talked about very much in the media, but it is a huge problem for our returning soldiers, men and women alike, right?
Yeah, and their families. And their families.
And it's way more prevalent than I think most of us know.
Yes. You have a problem in this country where federal agents can't turn to anything to scratch that itch other than depressants. So you're coming home and right away they're taking your gun from you, they're giving you liquor, and they're putting you in a room telling you to do paperwork. You're going to fall apart. That's just what happens. These are war fighters. You know, it's a very tough situation. And they have nobody to talk to because the minute they open their mouths, they get taxed for it. You know, if I come out and I say, hey, man, I got this thing that's affecting me, and you say, okay, cool, I hear you, and I'll make note of it. And now me making note of it makes it so that you're a crazy person, and you have now been muted, and you have been made an abstraction, so you're no longer a person who I actually have to deal with on a one-to-one level. You just get put in this little box of this abstractions that you never actually have to deal with.
So you're that guy with that thing that the person doesn't have to actually delve any deeper into.
That's it. Here's
so
pills.
What's a better way to handle it, Chaya?
You have to start dealing with people as opposed to dealing with issues, problems. You know, they generalize PTSD, and it's a very personalized issue. And I think instead of prescribing people pills, you should be giving people therapists. And the only people that are really giving these dudes therapists are the USO, which is not the military. The USO is a private organization that's funded by the public, like NPR. The military doesn't deal with these people like humans. They deal with them like machines, and that's a problem.
The film is called Man Down. Again, it's opening everywhere in theaters on December the 2nd. You can see a free screening with Chaya, along with the director and the writer of the film, at the Arclight Hollywood tonight. Email mandownla@gmail.com.
And can I just say before you guys kick me off the show?
Oh, we're not going to kick you off yet. We have three more questions.
All right, okay, good. Okay.
No, but go ahead. Say what you want.
I'm really honored, and I'm not lying to you. So just like it's a cool – it's awesome. Anyway, all right. Okay.
All right. Let's get into a few other things.
Yeah.
How great was that? How did that come about?
Well, I heard it one year. I was, you know, I'm being a narcissist, running through scrolling my name on the internet, and it came up, and I was like, "What is this? This is
insanity." Don't Google your name on the internet, child. You don't want to do that.
I do, man. I'm fragile. So,
you found it funny, or were you like,
hilarious.
"What are you doing?"
I thought it was both, but the more I listened to it, the more hilarious it became.
Why did he write a song about you being a cannibal?
I wanted to know also, so I wrote him and asked him, and he didn't explain it to me. He just said, "Listen, it's bigger than you think." And I said, okay.
Did he ask you to come be in the audience?
Yes. He told me like a year later that he was going to be doing this thing with the choir, and I thought it was brilliant. So then I showed up, and he's like, you know, do what you want. I said, is it cool if I do this clap from Citizen Kane? And he was with it. So that's how, I emailed him like a fan.
That's fantastic. All right, what is the deal with you and your friends, Natcha and Luke, your best friends? I understand you still talk to every single day. This art collective that you have, and this is all the crazy stuff that you've heard about Chaya doing with the paper bag and with the people coming in and talking to him and watching the movies. And all of these are under the umbrella of what you guys are doing for art.
Yeah.
And I don't know if we're not smart enough to get it or what.
I wouldn't even say we're doing it for art, because now you're putting me in a box that feels like garbage. You know, I'm not out here for no, I mean, look, everybody's got their own ambitions. I think when I first started this, it was sort of to get out from under this plagiarism umbrella. You know, and I was doing a lot of self-searching because I had screwed myself with this Dan Klaus thing, and he's beloved like Metallica, you know.
Right.
So I was vilified, and that hurt my soul. And then I started searching myself.
Is that when the paper bag happened?
Yes.
Explain to people what you did quickly. I'm sorry.
Okay, so I plagiarized Daniel Klaus's comic and made a short film out of it because I was insecure about my own ideas and blah, 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 blah. Anyway, I make the short film. I get lambasted for it. It goes to Cannes. It becomes this huge thing. I come back home, and it's like, let's hang the kid. And I'm feeling that way about myself, so I get really depressed while I'm shooting Fury. And I asked David Ayer what I'm supposed to do, and he said, you got to take the narrative back. So I take that to heart. I start going online looking for some kind of art theory that backs my play. I find this postmodernism writing, this guy named Ken Goldsmith, who's from Penn State. He's like a poet laureate. I get with him. He's like, hey, man, start tweeting this, this, this. So I'm basically running around from this, like, art philosopher to that, because I never went to art school. I'm a public school kid, you know? And I don't know really nothing about art past Basquiat and the things I've seen in movies. And so I start like this art education with these people who start shepherding me around. The postmodernism thing has a very low ceiling. There's no hope involved. Then I meet this guy named Lou. Luke. I'm fast-forwarding quickly. But I meet this guy, Luke, who's like a brilliant, brilliant genius kind of mind. And he starts spitting stuff that makes sense to me about, you know, error breeding sense. And that just feels good. So I start rolling with him. We start planning these shows. We developed this thing with this bag on the head to do it Lars von Trier's Nymphomaniac screening. I ask Lars. Lars loves the idea. Once Lars loves the idea, then I'm fully backing this thing because I believe in Lars.
Right.
And he's dogma and very like he's.
And people would come in and say what to you?
They would do a lot of things. Some people would come in and support. Some people would come in and fire off. You know, you get all types. And you got to, like, maintain some kind of stoicism through that.
Was it what you thought it would be?
No, not at all. I thought people would come in and just break my nose. I thought day one, guy one comes in, anvil to the face.
Yeah,
I thought for sure. I thought that's what... Because Daniel Klaus, to me, was like Metallica. And his fan base... to me, is like Metallica.
Right.
And I
mm-hmm.
thought, you're going to have a meltdown comic kid come in here, he's going to punch me in the face, kiss me on the forehead, and say he did it for Dan and leave. And that guy never came in.
Wow.
That guy came, that you would see that guy come in, and then as soon as he would see me as a human, as opposed to this idea or this abstraction, and he was dealing with me on a human level, his empathy as a person wouldn't allow him to hit me in the face. So even if he was saying it in line, and he was saying that he was going to, oh, I'm going to break that kid, and there was dudes who were like that, I would wake up in the morning and there would be notes stuffed under the door like, you die today, right?
Really?
Yep. And then I would go sit down, didn't know it, and he came in and he looked at me, and I was pretty beat up, and people would empathize. So, these things start as a very ironic, kind of silly thing, and then once you're actually faced with it, it becomes very sincere and human.
What about when you started giving out the coordinates of
where you are? That's the most recent thing.
Yeah.
We basically road tripped the United States and part of Canada using Twitter as a GPS coordinate bat signal kind of thing. People would show up and pick us up and take us wherever they wanted.
You would just put up whatever coordinates you were, wherever you were, you would put those up.
I'd tweet those
coordinates. And then somebody, we idea who it is.
Right, we wait maybe 20 minutes. People would come and pick us up, and we'd say, take us wherever you want. And then we'd get in the car with them and drive for 3 days and wind up in Florida or wind up in Alaska.
That sounds insane.
It was pretty nuts, yeah. And it takes a lot of trust.
Was
you know?
That what you expected it to be?
At this point, you're actually, you know, where I first started in this quite cynical Simpsons kind of vibe where, oh, for sure I'm going to die, I've now wound up past the Daria stage into, like, I have hope more now so than before because we've been doing it for 3 years. So I'm actually now anticipating a very human, sincere, loving thing on the other side. You actually
people are nicer than we expected
they would be. It's serious, man. It's serious,
and that's a huge change from what it started with.
Oh heck yeah! Because I go on the internet, you go on the internet, we read all this like. It's vitriol, just heavy. And then you get in the world, and that vitriol isn't reflected the same way. So, I think that's a big part, a spine of what we're doing. We're using the networks to forge connections, which I think actually enlighten people to what humanity might be about as opposed to what you see on the internet.
Do you have management that says any of these ideas are bad ideas?
The three of us collectively beat ideas into the ground. It's not like we just haphazardly throw stuff up, but like we'll beat an idea down for a year. Like the stuff we're getting ready to do, we've been thinking about for 2 years.
All right, so, what are you getting ready to do? Could you tell us?
I can't, not specifically, but we're doing something in Australia coming up here in December, and we're gearing up. Yeah.
Okay. That is super convenient for us. Thank you, Shia. I'm looking forward to that.
I'm glad that we can end this discussion about your art on such a positive note that you are encouraged by what you see from people in the world, because we don't hear that message very often. You're absolutely right. On the internet and on TV, you get the impression that the whole world has gone to hell, but that does not sound like it is the case, my friend.
No.
I'm real happy to hear that.
Cool, man.
The film, I'm so sad that we're out of time because we could talk to you all day, Shia. You're such
an interesting guy. Will
you come back? I'd love to come back.
Yeah, come back anytime.
Okay.
The film is called Man Down, you guys. It is intense. It is powerful. It's some of the best acting and writing and directing you'll see all year. You really, really should see it and will see it when it opens everywhere on December 2nd.
Man, I've always been so scared of you guys, man. This is awesome. Just because you guys are straight shooters.
Why would you say
that? I just thought maybe I'd come in here and you guys just rip me up. I didn't know, you know? It's cool, bro. I'm really appreciative.
He's pleasantly surprised by us as well.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah,
thank you, Shia. We really enjoyed it, sir.
Yeah,
bye bye now.
Cool, man.
Thanks.
Bean, I'm surprised that you don't already have your plane tickets to London. Very surprised by this. I'm surprised that you haven't already visited Switzerland.
Tell me why. What's going on?
Well, there's a new cafe that's been opened.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a BJ cafe.
Excuse me?
Yeah. Don't say excuse me.
Ever.
Right? Ever. I mean, that just sort of stopped everything. So you go in and you order coffee, and then a robot.
Oh, what?
It's a robot? Robot sex is my favorite thing in the world. Are you kidding me? Robot sex is the only reason I'm still alive, is waiting for the day when robot sex happens.
This is one of those moments where I'd like to separate myself from Bean. This is Kevin speaking now, not robots. I enjoy humans.
Yes.
Bean loves the robots. Yes.
Because robots are better than humans, and if I could climb into my TV set on HBO and live in Westworld, I would. Mm.
Didn't you bring us this story, Bean? But it was actually going to be humans that would be giving this gift. But yes. I guess this is the way to get around it.
Both are happening, but a lot of companies have been having trouble finding cities that will, like Amsterdam is where the human BJ Cafe was going to be because it's already legal in Amsterdam.
And in Thailand. They also
right,
did.
Yeah. Right. Where I go for 2 weeks every year. So so in London, a place like London, where they're not quite so liberal with their sex laws, boom, they get around that by having robots. So they're the ones who are providing the service there. So no women are harmed. So we wanted to find out more about this. Yeah, we did. So we asked Dave, who could we talk to? And we have the owner of the BJ Cafe, Bradley Charvet, joins us on the phone on K-Rock right now. Hi, Bradley. Welcome to the show, sir.
Hello. Good morning. Hey. How are you today?
We're good.
We are great. I want to make sure we understand. So in 2017, your place will be open at possibly multiple locations in London. People will come in and be able to get coffee and a BJ for a certain fee.
Yeah, your little friend there on the radio said we are open. We're not open yet.
Not open yet. Okay.
We're going to be open. And it will be a special experience for everyone to enjoy.
Okay. I have to ask, what's going on behind you right now?
That is the sound of the robots. They have servos in the robot girls, and it makes the sound of the machinery.
I see.
As they alter their position.
I see. Okay. Well, that is that would be distracting, I would think, if they make that much noise there at the coffee shop.
Oh, so you're not happy with that, but you can always try woman if that's not
an option for me.
Not really.
We are still in work to make the cafe.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So nothing is as it will be then now.
Oh, I see. Okay, you're still putting it together.
So all things that are happening now in the future will be different.
I see.
Right.
Because
understood.
The future is not now.
Right.
And time is on the travel
I
forward.
See.
And it changes.
Right.
Things.
Right.
So don't be scared.
Okay, understand.
Don't listen to things that are meaningless for the bit and say, what is that sound? Why is that going on? And make that something that now has become a thing.
I was just asking.
Maybe just ask you a question so we can move along. And
okay.
What does that sound in background?
Wow, you know Bean. That's great.
Okay, here's the question. Here's the legitimate question I have for you, Brad.
Finally.
And that is what about the how shall I say, the privacy factor? If I'm going in there and sitting down and having the coffee and service, how is that going to work with all the other customers at the same time?
All right. Here's how it works. The cafe, which will be known as the Brew and Blue, there'll be two options for you. You can sit at the bar, and the beautiful robot lady will be beneath the bar.
I see.
Or we'll have a partition area for you fellows with the tiny weenie who are embarrassed.
Oh, I see. Okay, all right.
Me, myself, I'd be like, oh, look here what I have now in my pants. Oh, look, it is a trouser python. Everyone be jealous, but other people are like, oh, I must hide my teeny tiny thing.
Okay, well, I don't think we can draw that conclusion. Mm. Can we pick what the robot looks like?
There will be a selection of lovely ladies available for you to choose from. And you can then get a cafe americano or espresso. Perhaps a prune danish, a pastry of some kind. And then while you're enjoying your pastry and your coffee, you can also enjoy getting your morning started with a little jump start, having your brake lines bled.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. So multitasking. I got it.
Now, are you training the robots?
No, we're just saying.
What's the question?
We're not going to program them or anything. We're just going to let them run free.
Just jump?
They're going to be free-range robots. Just run around doing whatever comes naturally for them.
I'd like to withdraw the question.
It's like National Geographic with you two. All the important questions you're asking about what's happening. I am with a robot girl now while I'm on the phone with you.
Oh, you're kidding.
Testing out the merchandise.
I hope she's been trained.
She has been trained. I'm training her as we speak. I have a biscuit and a whip and a dog collar and I'm training her. My. And I'm telling you, you will be so happy with the product here at the Brew and Blue that you will not... Ow!
Oh, no.
That doesn't sound like it's going well. What's happening?
Oh, boy. Holy moly, boy. That is pain.
What happened, Bradley?
I have never experienced before.
Mm. What's going on?
That is a bad place to put the gear shift right there. That's not good for me. Ow! Robot mouths are too strong. That's what I'm finding out now. Okay. This is a horrible idea. Oh, I should have trained them better.
See? That's my point. All right, so we've got a crisis situation here, and I'm glad to say that our lines are filled with people who are going to help us decide this once and for all. I don't know why it came out of the blue last week, Allie, but I believe it was you who introduced the topic in the room off the air.
Yeah, I was actually eating string cheese, and I was just... peeling it as humans, correct humans, Americans, I'll just say that, do. Just peeling into strips, eating the string
cheese. In other words, treating string cheese like the product that it is, which is string
exactly,
cheese.
Exactly, exactly, okay. Bean. Thank you for clearing that up. And I believe it was Ralph. He's like, well, what are you, a three-year-old? Just eat the cheese.
Yeah, just eat it. I'm a just eat the cheese person. Just put it in your mouth and eat it.
No, you're not.
No,
I
why?
You're
you,
not really saying
you
that
you
seriously.
Then,
just eat
then
it.
It's mozzarella cheese. There's no fun in that.
How much
string
fun?
Cheese, you
how much
peel
fun
it.
Do you
string
get
it.
Peeling cheese.
A lot of That's, fun.
Really?
Yes.
First of all, you get a lot
Define
more.
Define fun.
Well, you get a lot more cheese out of your string cheese if you peel it, if you eat it that way,
you
rather
don't
than just
get more cheese.
It's actually the same amount.
It's the same amount, Bean.
But it seems like more. Okay, it
seems
does
seem like more.
It seems like more because you get way more mouthfuls of cheese.
Agree.
And
just eat the cheese.
No.
You just eat it.
No, because then you're
whatever
like
food you...
with the cheese when you should be meow, meow, peeling it.
So, Allie, it sounds to me like you and I, and as you said, all heroic Americans are peelers.
Yes.
And Kevin and Ralph then would be biters.
That's why it's string cheese. It's not mozzarella cheese. It's string cheese.
I understand that.
Made to be strung.
Right.
Stringed.
But how many strings do you need to pull off of that cheese before you finish off
that? And that's a fun game, Kevin.
It's not a
for
fun
asking.
Game. Define fun.
You could see how thin you could peel it.
I peel as many strings as possible.
Yes, me too.
I like to make like 60 strings off of my cheese.
Yes.
You guys are pathetic.
Because
you should do something that's actually fun.
It is fun and it's delicious. And it's using the product for the use that it was intended for. So you're an animal.
Yes.
If you just bite into string cheese, you are an animal.
And Ralph started yelling so loud and he got so angry and then I dropped it. I dropped it on the ground.
You did drop your cheese.
And Kevin laughed harder.
Yes, because you know what you should have done? You should have just eaten the cheese. Then you wouldn't have dropped it.
We're gonna settle this in a moment at 1-800-520-1067 with our listeners that are on hold. But Kevin, just recapping, what is the we have explained a lot.
Cheese.
We've explained Allie and I have explained all the advantages to eating it the right way. Give me the advantages to eating it the wrong way. Are you in some sort of hurry?
Yes, I'm always in a hurry. Always, yes.
So is it just,
of course.
I'm just going to shove as much food into my mouth as possible?
And then keep moving. That's how you live life. You take whatever food is in front of you, you shove it in your face, and you keep moving. You walk on.
Walk.
That's what you just walk on. Look, I forget food, so when I have it, I got to put it in there right away.
All right.
You know what I mean?
Let's do a Kevin and Bean scientific survey and figure this out, shall we?
It's time for Kevin and Bean's scientific survey.
The lines are filled. We had them call before we discussed the topic, so there's no bias. When the callers who are on hold dialed in, they did not know what the topic was going to be. So we're going to be getting their first opinion as they've heard the discussion.
All right, but before we go to the calls, none of this BS leading question that you do, Bean, like, oh, are you a right-thinking American? That's BS.
Well, no, they've heard the discussion. It doesn't matter how it's framed. They know that the question they're going to be asked is, are they a peeler or are they a biter?
Just eat the cheese.
Just peel the cheese back and enjoy the cheese and use the cheese the way the cheese was intended to be, because it came from God. All right.
Cheese is fun.
Let's start with Molly. She gets one vote. Hey, before we talk to Molly, though, what is the deal? So is it first to three determines for the world whether it's okay to bite cheese or not, right?
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
No, to bite string cheese, right?
String cheese.
All right, Molly, you've heard both sides of the argument. Are you with me or are you with Hitler over there? Hello, Molly.
Gone.
So did we lose her?
So that's a just eat the cheese. All right, I'll put that down.
All right, let's get somebody else to replace Molly as one of our jurors. Let's try Matthew up next in Fullerton. Hi, Matthew. Good morning. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi, good morning.
All right, string cheese. What say you, sir?
I would have to say I am a biter.
Biter.
I go all in. Yeah.
Biter. That's how you do it. Yeah. You got other important things to do. You don't want to spend all day eating your string cheese having fun.
Matthew, I'm sad that you're listening to our show. I didn't realize we had people like you out there. Makes me a little disappointed, but thank you for the call. We will put down one vote for biter. Let's try Jose up next in Pomona, please.
All right, Jose, hi.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Biter, stringer.
Biter or peeler?
Peeler.
Peeler, and Kevin is exactly what's wrong with America.
Thank you.
I agree 100%.
You don't have to shove every piece of food down your throat. Just enjoy it a little bit.
No. Right? I got stuff to do.
String cheese and peel it, or else the terrorists win.
Yes, exactly.
And John McCain is not a hero, according to Kevin, right? Is that right, Jose?
All right.
That's right, Kevin.
Okay. Hold on. Explain to me how the terrorists win.
Never mind. We got to move on.
All right.
We're very busy. All right. So we're one to one right now in the scientific survey. Let's see what Curtis has to say. He's in Simi Valley. He's up next on line four.
Hey, Curtis.
Hey, guys.
Help us.
I'm gonna go with you gotta string it. You gotta pull it apart.
Curtis, I have loved you for a while.
Yeah.
You have to do that. I mean, you don't pour your fondue cheese on your bread. You
right?
Put it into the fondue.
Right?
You gotta string the string cheese.
There is a right way and a wrong way with all kinds of cheeses, Curtis, and I'm glad you recognize that.
You're very, very smart man.
Thank you, Curtis.
Shut up, all of
very
you.
Very smart. You're a good man, Curtis. Cheese. You've won a new car. Congratulations. Thank you.
All right. It's 2-1.
2-1. Let's see.
Who better than someone named after cheese?
That's right. She is called Bree. Hey, Bree from Burbank. How are you, my dear?
Hey, good morning. Okay,
when you woke up, this morning, you didn't realize that you were going to be casting a vote that could change the way America lives.
I didn't. Look at me now.
Okay.
First of all, Kevin and Matthew, you guys are crazy. It's string cheese.
Thank you, Bree.
I understand that's the name of it.
Cheese of cheese.
Say it again, Brie. I'm sorry. Kevin was trying to make sure that opposition could not be heard. Say it again.
No, if you want cube cheese, you buy cubes of cheese. But if you're eating string cheese, you peel it.
Obviously.
That's what it's for.
Is peeling string cheese your idea of fun?
It's an experience.
It's an experience,
Brie.
Yeah,
yes.
It is.
Yes.
It is. Right. I'm sorry you missed out.
Yeah.
Brie. You are awesome, and you are right, and you are a great American, and we thank you for calling the Scientific Survey.
That was Kevin and Bean's Scientific Survey.
All right, let's open the show up for phone topic here. Dave, tell us what happened yesterday at your home.
All right, guys. So, as you know, we all wake up here early, and once in a while, me and my girlfriend will have to switch cars. So yesterday morning, we switched cars, and my girlfriend went to bed. I came to work. I get a call around 6 a.m. with my girlfriend freaked out because she forgot to lock the door.
Right.
And a drunk girl walked into our apartment and was going into our bedroom.
So when your girlfriend woke up, what did she see?
Well, the only reason why she woke up is because my awesome dog, Rhonda Ruffy, was barking up a storm. So she wakes up.
Kill the mood, though? So she wakes up.
She wakes up, and there's this girl hovering over her.
I don't think this is sexy.
Yeah.
Really?
Is that where it's going?
Yeah, I think it's pretty scary.
It's pretty scary, yeah.
All right, okay.
Yeah, but you know, it's scary. It could be sexy. It could be like,
okay.
Scary.
Right.
Whoa. It could start scary but end sexy.
So my girlfriend says, who are you? Why the F are you in my... in my apartment.
Bedroom at this point.
Yeah,
right?
Bedroom, yes.
Yeah. Oh, why is she got to come at a visitor with attitude?
Right?
She's never going to get any friends this way.
Oh, is she?
And can you leave? Well, in a much meaner term.
Yeah, I think that would have freaked me out.
Yes,
if you wake up in bed and there's someone standing there looking at you.
Yeah.
Whew.
the girl tends to respond, shh, no, it's okay. Relax. Calm down. It's cool.
I hope your girlfriend felt a lot better about that.
Oh, it's cool. Oh, wait, it's cool. I didn't realize it was cool.
And that's when it turned to this.
Yeah.
No.
Oh, so she's this. So now we have this random girl in our apartment.
So what does your girlfriend do?
She ends up taking the girl out, kicking her out of the apartment.
Okay.
And then, you know, about 15 minutes later, takes my dog for a walk. And this girl is just roaming around the neighborhood looking for her friends.
Okay, so she was genuinely lost.
That's
what was happening. She was looking for somebody else's apartment.
Wasted.
Okay, so there was no ill will here. It was just she thought she was
a drunk girl.
Wow. Can I say, thank God your girlfriend didn't have a gun?
Yeah.
Because I think that would be a real... understandable natural instinct to wake up, see somebody hovering over your bed, and go self-defense, and it just would have been a tragic accident.
You took that a long way from I'm saying, come on now.
So
I'm just glad she didn't have a love gun, you know what I'm saying?
Wait, hold on. I'm trying to diagram that in my mind, and it's not making
Dave
sense.
Dave actually winked as well, by the way, for the record.
I'm saying, God, it wasn't a dude.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay, gotcha. So she just wandered into an unlocked apartment by mistake, thinking it was a friend's. So what did your girlfriend do when she saw this random stranger continuing to wander the halls, try to get her some help? Or
yeah, she ended up talking to her, and it turns out that it was our neighbor's, one of the roommate's friends. And they went out for a night.
The place next to you.
The place next to ours. Yeah.
I see.
So,
that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then it turns out our roommate was lost as well. So these girls must have had a great night.
It sounds like
kidding. Wow.
Well, it's been a long time since I've heard a story like that, although we have certainly seen them in the news a number of times. Who's this celebrity that kept crashing on people's couches? Was it Charlie Sheen, I want to say?
I don't remember.
Who am I thinking of?
Steve-O.
Did Steve-O do it,
Steve-O
too?
Steve-O would always do it.
Steve-O, man, that's an evergreen.
He would have to go to a bar, pick up a girl, and then just crash on a couch.
Yeah, there was somebody else, too, but I don't remember who it was.
Yeah, somebody who just kept showing up in people's houses.
Didn't Robert Downey Jr.
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of.
And years ago. But so did Carrie Fisher. Didn't she, like, wander into someone's backyard or something back in the day?
Yeah, that would be so weird.
Right.
Well, we are looking for your stories of... you accidentally ended up in somebody else's house or apartment. You didn't mean to, but you were probably drunk. Or it happened to you. You had an experience like Dave's lady did where you woke up and there was somebody in your house. We want to know what ended up happening and how you handled it. This could be fun.
Now, we want to keep away from crime. So if somebody broke into your place, not that interesting.
Yeah,
and then you say you shot him in the back and then you tried to auction your gun online or something. We don't want those stories. We want stories that are funny. Because nothing happened and you just happened to be...
They didn't break in on purpose.
Right.
That's the key here, so is that they accidentally came into your house.
Do you guys remember one of our interns, Crikey? He, during Halloween time, he was dressed in lederhosen.
Oh, yeah.
And went to the wrong house. Mm-hmm. He was wasted after a Halloween party, went to the wrong house.
He was wasted?
Yeah, he was wasted too. And the guy woke up and just calmly just said, oh, okay, cool, no worries. Get on out.
That was it. No,
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 no
anger,
violence,
no panic.
Nothing. Just, hey, you're
the
wrong house.
The lederhosen. I mean, how much of a threat does he pose? All right. 1-800-520-1067. You know what we're looking for. You accidentally went into somebody's house or apartment. You didn't mean to. No malice intended. It was just an accident, probably under the influence of something, or it happened to you. We'll take your calls right after this on K-Rock. Got to catch up with our longtime friend Frank Caliendo, a very funny comedian and impressionist, in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Right now we are taking your calls of you stumbled into somebody's house by accident, not with malice. It was just a mistake. You were probably drunk or stoned, or it's happened to you. Just like Carrie Fisher, right, Allie?
No, apparently it was Margot Kidder. Thanks for clarifying that. Stand down. Stand down.
Well, that bad lady on the radio is the one who said it.
But apparently,
you're yelling at.
It was also a psychological episode, so that's a whole other situation.
That's not funny. We're looking for funny.
We're looking for funny.
Uh-huh. Okay. 1-800-520-1067. Let's start with, let's go to Ontario, please. Start with Jessica. She's on line 7 to get us going.
All right. Hi, Jessica.
Hi, how's everyone?
Good. Thank you. You were drunk and?
No, it actually happened to me.
Oh.
Yeah, I was probably like 12 or 13, and I shared a room with my sister, and I could hear like weird noises at the window that I slept near. And eventually I could hear that someone was trying to pry into my window.
Oh,
and
no.
I peeked through the window, and I saw a cowboy hat, and it scared the crap out of me.
That
so
is terrifying. Who wears a cowboy hat,
right?
I ran to get my dad, and he runs in, and it's this drunk Mexican guy doing all he can to open my window.
Did he shout,
Did you ever determine a motive?
Well, when my dad opened the window to cuss him out to figure out what he was doing, his wife had opened the window across the alley from us and was yelling at him to come in her window.
Wrong window!
It was terrifying.
Wow.
And my dad was able to laugh it off, but I never was.
That
I can imagine.
Funny. Well, I'm glad it all worked out. Thank you very much for sharing. We appreciate that. Let's try Albert, Simi Valley. He's up next. He's on line 2 on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Albert.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, the reason I'm called Albert Downey Jr. I was passed out in my buddy's car, and I woke up, walking to the house, thinking it was the house, and I hear yelling and screaming, and lights are on, and next you know, a guy runs up to my face and puts a gun on my face and says, get the F out.
That is not hospitable.
I'm shocked. I'm walking out the house. I'm down the street now looking for the right house, and he's still following me, telling me, get out of here, get out of here. And I end up turning around. It was like a yelling rampage, and my friends came out of the house laughing their asses off.
I'm sorry. Did you say you were having a yelling rampage with a guy that had a gun?
Yeah, because I was trying to leave, and I kept telling him, I'm leaving. I'm just lost. I was in another state. I was in Arizona. And so it was just a wild thing. So ever since then, my friends always laughed at me, told me, oh, Albert Downey Jr.
Yeah.
And I just woke up on the guy's couch and not even know him.
Yeah, your friends are right.
But in your defense, you were in Arizona, right?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not sure why that matters.
That's relevant at all.
But thank you for sharing it anyway, Albert Downey Jr. Let's go to line 1, please, Montebello. This is going to be Frank.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, what's up, guys? How's it going?
Good. Great. All right, let me just guess. I'm just going to guess that you're the one that went to the wrong place.
I did, yeah.
Okay. All right. All right.
What happened?
So I was looking for a new dispensary to go to in the area, and I don't have the address, and I'm walking.
Oh, a new dispensary? I'm sorry. Are you sick? I didn't know.
No, so while I'm looking for this place, usually the doors are open, and I catch a door that's cracked slightly open.
Right.
So I walked into the place, and it looks like a business, but unfortunately it wasn't, and I walked into a family eating dinner in the living room. So it was like those movies where somebody walks into the wrong place and they had to slowly back out.
You backed out?
I walked out, I looked next door, and the place was right next door.
That's awesome. Did they say anything?
They didn't say anything.
They were all
eating, and they slowly looked up, and they were looking at me, totally confused, like, what is this asshole doing in my house?
I wonder if that happened to them more because they were right next door to a dispensary.
Great question. Hopefully they started locking their
probably
door.
People walked into their house all the time.
Looking for weed. They should start selling.
Yeah.
Is that some weed?
I love the idea, though, the visual of you not saying anything, just realizing you're in the wrong place and backing out, and them not saying anything. Oh, sorry.
Radio.
Is what you meant, right?
Oh,
right.
Sorry about that.
No worries. All right, Frank, thank you for the call, sir. Well done. Let's try Javier, please, in Azusa. He's on line 6.
All right, Javier, hi.
Hey, how's it going? How are you?
We are good. You walked into somebody else's house?
Yes, I did.
To get away from the wind?
Why don't you tell us about it instead of making us try to extract the information from you?
No,
are you in a convertible, sir?
So I went to go visit my buddy in San Diego.
What kind of G-force are you pulling in there right now?
Are you in a hurricane simulator?
I'm on Metro section.
I don't know.
All right.
I don't know.
Thank you for the call, Javier. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been a Hall of Fame segment of the Kevin DeBee Show.
I was thinking about how great it's been this spring to have so much new music on K-Rock. That's all been great. A couple weeks ago, we had Garbage come by with their new song, which is outstanding. Last week, the guys from Blink 182 were here with their new song, which is great. Tomorrow, I think we have new Red Hot Chili Peppers music, first song in a number of years. And we may be talking to somebody from the band about that as well. So new Chili Peppers, long awaited. That's tomorrow. And, of course, as Kevin mentioned, win tickets to see them at the K-Rock Weenie Rose 2016. Two chances to win coming up before the end of today's show.
We all have our strengths and weaknesses, right? Some of us are better at some things, not good at other things. Bean's very intelligent, very funny. Bean is not cool.
How
right
dare you?
When you hear someone say that guy is cool, do you think Bean?
Not at first.
Okay.
No.
So we were having a conversation, and we were talking about, I think it was when we were talking about old people and who was going to die next or whatever, the death pool. And Bean said, I want to live forever, first of all.
Well, nobody wants to die. Everybody wants to have as much time on Earth as possible. Life goes by quickly.
I don't want to live anywhere near forever at all. I'm good maybe 85.
So then Bean pulls out, I'm going to be the coolest 100-year-old ever.
Oh.
Okay.
So what point between now and when you turn 100 are you going to flip the switch on being cool?
All right. I am not disagreeing with you that I am not cool now.
Right.
I'm not claiming to be cool now.
Okay.
But here's what I'm saying is the older I get, I think the cooler I will be because more and more young people will be impressed with how current I am. You see what I'm saying?
Like, what you're saying, but it's just painfully wrong.
Like, it's not a big deal if a 30-year-old knows what a 15-year-old is into, but if a 50-year-old knows what a 15-year-old is, that's a surprise. When a 75-year-old knows what a 15-year-old is, now you're like, what's up with this old man?
What's up with that creep?
No, I'm not saying creepy. I'm talking about like music and TV and things like that. So when I'm 100. If I'm talking to some teenager about the new Beyonce album,
all of a sudden,
I'm super
what are you
cool.
hanging out at schools? What's happening?
He just said, "'Cause I'm cool."
No teenager is going to go, you know what? That guy's 100, but he sure is current.
But I think they will because everybody Everybody loves old. Look, when we see these reports of the people who turn 100 and they're on the news, when they're interviewed, they're so cute and they're so funny. And if they are down with what's going on, you're really like you're attracted to them because you know they're awesome.
No, sir.
Not attracted to them like that, Allie. I'm just saying there's something about old people that are dialed in that is surprising and delightful. And I'm going to be surprising and delightful.
Well, I thought maybe today we would check on that because we do have a future phone.
What?
So we are able to actually place a call to future Bean.
Are you kidding me? We're going to talk to me in the future.
Thank you for clarifying. Future Bean, are you there?
Hello?
Oh,
hi, is this
Bean.
How old are you, sir?
I'm 100 years old.
100 years old.
100.
And I'm so cool.
Yes, thank you. That's all we needed to know. Thank you for talking
to
us.
How exactly are you cool, Future Bean?
Well, you know, the teenagers love when I hang out with them.
And where do you hang out with them?
Well, I usually get in my hover chair, and I just go by the schoolyards. Because I'm selling ice cream these days.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, nope.
I inherited an ice cream cart from an old friend.
What was the old friend's name?
It's been so long now, it's hard to remember.
Was it Al Jessup?
That was the name.
Yes, how about that?
I split my time between that and my chocolate milk museum. All the kids come by to see ancient samples of chocolate milk.
You're saying all the kids come by to see that?
Yeah, there's some kids now. Hi, kids, how are you? Let's all hang out.
Oh, get away.
Hey, but I'm cool.
Get away.
Oh, come on, kids.
They just don't know Future Bean.
Well, they don't know. You know, ever since I lost my job on the radio, it's been hard to hang out with the kids.
Mm. Oh, how did that happen, future me? I'm very concerned about that.
I was fired after my pun-filled weathercast tribute to the death of Taylor Swift.
Oh, well, you can't blame me. I was probably pretty upset.
Well, I couldn't believe people got upset at my hilarious pun-filled tribute. I said, oh, there's a cold front coming in. I hope we can shake it off before the weekend.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, this weather system sure has some bad blood, doesn't it? I knew it was trouble before it even got started. The sunny days, you belonged with me.
That's hilarious now. It'll be hilarious then, future me.
Hey, kids, what did you think of that? Pretty funny, huh?
No, get away.
Come on, kids. Let's hang out.
Terrible.
That bit went over like the Zika virus in a box of Mike and Ike's.
I don't even know.
That's a bad example, I guess. But I was like a palm tree frond on a magnetic bullet train track.
What are you talking about?
He's keeping up the bad example.
I guess that's not a great example. This reminds me of when I lost my job as a security guard at the sorority house.
You were a security guard at a sorority house?
Yes. By the way, it's not illegal to have your pockets filled with zip ties and codeine lozenges.
Oh, man.
Hey, kids. What do you say? Would you like some ice cream?
No.
Get away.
No.
Come on. It's in my pants.
Oh, come on.
We're all very excited to welcome Mr. Zach Galifianakis to the Kevin and Bean Show, co-creator, executive producer, writer, and actor. He's wearing a lot of hats on a new show called Baskets, debuting tonight on FX. Hey, Zach. What's up, man?
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Great to see you. You know, it's so funny. You and Allie were talking. She was talking about how she watched a bunch of the episodes already ahead of the marrying, and you said something so interesting, which is that you think people will either love the show or hate the show, which is kind of a weird thing. I mean,
it's not
most...
good for promotion to say that.
It's great for the people that love it, but most shows, they try to figure out how to get most people to like, and you had no interest in that kind of show, it looks like.
Well, I mean, you want to cast a wide net, but it's a different it's a very bizarre show.
It's
different than anything else.
It's
sure.
A lot of things that we tried to do, and we just kind of made a silly show with some dramatic undertones that hopefully people will find interesting enough to watch. I mean, I've been passing out flyers at the Third Street Promenade and
well,
Universal City
takes.
Walk. So
you got to do what you got to do.
Right.
I mean, but even with Between Two Ferns and different stuff like that, it's sort of like, I'm going to do my thing, and I hope people like it, but I'm going to do my thing whether they do or not. And by the way, we're huge fans of that.
Oh. Well, yeah, I mean, you just kind of – I mean, not to talk too seriously about it, but I come from like a stand-up background, and I often have done things on stage where I know it's going to alienate people.
But are you – when that comes to your mind, are you drawn to it even more? Because I sort of am.
Here's the thing.
Okay.
If it's funny enough, it'll trump a lot of things.
Okay.
And then when it's not funny, then it just kind of falls apart. So that's the trick, and that's the risk. But it's a fun risk to try to do, I think.
When you started thinking up Baskets, which again premieres tonight on the FX channel, did you think, how am I going to differentiate this from all the other shows about clowns that drop out of a Parisian school and then move to Bakersfield to become rodeo clowns?
Yeah, I didn't want to make it like the play at the Wooster Group in New York.
I mean, we've seen it so many times before. Like, what are you going to bring to it? It hasn't already been done.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one thing. We can't really be accused of ripping anybody off.
Right.
When we thought about the show, it was actually going to be a behind the scenes of Between Two Ferns. That was my first thought of an idea for
That's
the show.
That's where this show started?
That's where this show started.
Okay.
And then Jonathan Kreisel, the director, he talked me out of it and told me no one would be interested in that. And since my confidence isn't high, I went, okay.
And, just for the record, I would have been. But go ahead.
So I just kind of started thinking about bitterness and anger and how that makes me laugh as when I see people angry makes me, I don't know why it does, but it just, like, I don't think I'm really like that in person, but I wanted to play that kind of character. And then Louis C.K. Kind of thought up the French clown angle, and that kind of put a layer to it that was confusing enough to be interesting.
I got to tell you, in the first episode, when you're talking to your teacher at the clown school,
And you're just begging him. You're like, I don't speak French. I'm really having a hard time. And he just doesn't even respond to you. He just walks away.
Yeah. Away.
I was like, that was one of the weirdest scenes I've ever
You've
seen.
You've never had anybody just walk away from you while they're talking. It happens to me constantly.
But you're pouring out your heart, and the guy just walks
away. So what? It happens to me all the time.
It's crazy.
Yeah, walking away while people talk to you is in the show often.
He waits for a good amount of time so that you can really pour your heart out before he walks away.
Yeah, I think that gut-wrenching stuff kind of is wiggly to watch, but if it's cute enough, hopefully people will find the humor in it. But yeah, that's part of it, without sounding pretentious, is that too late, Zach.
Zach's having a conversation with himself now. And he's losing.
I'm not sure what's happening, but...
Drink your coffee, Zach. What was I saying?
No one knows that.
No one
we were
knows.
Talking about the guy walking away.
I guess the thing is the thing is, if I hadn't seen it a lot, that's attractive to me if it hasn't been done that often. Mm-hmm. And I think comedies, you know, can fall into a mold, and right. we just weren't interested in any sort of kind of mold.
So when you sit down with that scene and you write it, do you go, okay, what should the professor say back? And at what point did you go, nothing? Just have him say nothing and walk away.
I think, with a show like this, you have to be very adaptable. We don't have a lot of time to shoot. This is an ambitious show. So you have two takes to fall down. Move. You kind of keep moving. So that scene was probably, we probably had it, the outline of that scene. And then the jokes aren't as heavily written in the show, because I didn't want the jokes to be heavily written. I wanted the context and the narrative to what we wanted to focus on, and character. And then the jokes, if you hire funny people, they kind of will show up on their own.
This is Zach Galifianakis here on the Kevin Beach Show, talking about Baskets, premiering tonight on FX. Do you need to like Chip to be able to play him? Is there anything likable about him? Because I've only seen one episode.
Not
I haven't
yet.
Seen it yet.
I watched five.
Is there anything?
Well, I'm still waiting on Chip.
He does.
Season two. Still waiting on Chip.
Season two. Let's not get carried away, guys. Right. I mean, come on.
Is there any redemption for him?
The thing with Chip, I will say, there are such glimpses of redemption. And then he socks you in the stomach.
Right. I think we have to kind of have some redemption down the road. But we're just setting up the character now. I mean, it's a slow build, this show. But I am not that interested in making him that likable. I'm more interested in just kind of seeing where this kind of guy would go. But you got to give him some light. I mean, he has to have a goal. He has to have something. We haven't found it yet.
Nope.
It's amazing.
Well, his love of comedy. You have to be so honest. I mean, isn't this show business?
Are we supposed to sell it?
Yeah, sell it. Yeah, come on.
No, we really love Chip.
He's the best. Wow, this Chip.
He is the best.
His love of clowning, though, I mean, that's his light, right? Like, that's his happy place, is when he gets to clown.
Yeah, but that's just used as a thing for anybody's aspirations, whether they're attainable or not. Clowning for him is just this thing, but he's not willing to even work for it. I mean, he's kind of lazy and
he's a terrible clown.
He's a terrible clown. But he really wants to be an artist,
right?
You know that, and that was his avenue. He thought that was his easy avenue into being into the art world, was just being a clown. So it's a silly goal, but it's a silly show.
It's a wonderful show. It premieres tonight at 10 o'clock on
Let
FX.
Let Bean sell it for you.
Good
it's
Lord.
It's called Baskets. Zach, I love it.
Real that's American.
We're going to take a very quick break and come back more with Zach right after this on Kira. That that off-air conversation was one for the ages, you guys.
Nope.
That was something else. All right. I want to get Zach's opinion on this. And we just Kevin brought it up. Kevin's told Zach.
Can I tell the story, please?
Sure.
Let me just tell the beginning of the story.
Go ahead.
I love Zach Galifianakis.
Yes,
love.
You do.
Okay. Noted. Noted.
Got out of my deathbed to come in today only because he's coming in.
Right.
You were sick. You didn't want to come in, but you didn't want to miss a chance to meet Zach. Okay.
So I tell Zach off the air, I got to tell you, Hangover, he's taking a sip of tea or something, is my favorite movie. And he did a spit take.
Yeah.
He did a spit take and he laughed at me.
Because it's an unreasonable position to hold, Kevin. That's why. Look, it's a great movie. We all saw it. We all liked it. It can't be your favorite
movie
of all time.
It's my favorite movie. How can it not be? Isn't that my choice?
I'm going to let Zach rule on this. Is it acceptable if somebody's favorite movie of all time is The Hangover?
Saying, you're not putting that in a category. You're just saying of all time, not
yes.
comedy.
No, no.
I would ask, what other movies have you seen?
Okay. You just say whatever. What else has
have
I
you seen anything without the words and the bandit in it?
Kevin, are you living in a world where the Ghostbusters doesn't exist anymore?
Ghostbusters used to be my favorite movie.
That's a good one. Hangover's a good
one,
too.
That's, thank you, Zach.
I find The Hangover to be a very good movie, too.
It's a very good movie. I'm saying nothing bad about it.
It's Paul Blart.
It's Paul Blart. What is Paul Blart?
If the Paul Blart people are listening,
yes,
the marketing people, uh-huh. I have a really good idea for their next
okay.
poster.
All right.
Who blarted?
Oh, nice.
I like it.
You're giving that away, too,
yes,
by the
I like
way.
It.
You just let that go on
yeah,
the
I saw
air.
I the poster and I'm like, these guys made a mistake.
All right. Zach Galifianakis is here. We are talking about, among other things, his new show premiering tonight called Baskets. It's on FX at 10 o'clock. We must rave about your little friend who plays Martha on the show, who we are all just, we just want to wrap her up in a little blanket, just hold her close and make her comfortable and happy because it's so sad what you put her through on that show. Tell us about the young woman who plays her.
Young woman? Martha is... I always say that because she's my age. I would say that if she were here. Martha's an old friend. We used to do open mics together on Lincoln Boulevard at Pedro's Tacos right across from another place we would do open mics. I can't remember that. But she would... I would bike, and sometimes she would drive me home, and we kind of had a friendship, and she was always funny to me. She dressed as a librarian on stage, and because that's the way she is, and she's just soft-spoken and very bizarre, and I've known her for years, and I've asked her to be in stuff with me, and she said no, and then finally for this, she said yes, and she's super funny.
She's perfect.
She's never acted before, though, right?
Yeah, and still she's never acted. I mean,
she's so good. She makes her character makes me mad at you.
Well, yeah, that's the point. Yeah. I mean, it is that kind of stuff is very thought out. I think the relationships, but Martha and I have known each other, and that's kind of our comedic relationship is that I'm very mean to her for no reason. She accepts okay. it.
Well, you'd be a good person to be friends with. It sounds
yeah,
like
a really good friend.
Well, you also in the show you need someone to root for, and you root for Martha in
yes.
every situation.
Yeah, I mean it's hard not to root for Martha. She, you know, I just going back to the difference thing. Like, I don't know if anybody would put somebody like Martha on television. It's just such a weird casting choice. Mm-hmm. That's what the show, the strong point of the show to me are the characters and the performances of the other. I'm not speaking of me. I'm speaking of like Louis Anderson. And
your mom's a hot piece of ass. That's
yeah.
what I want to say first
yeah.
of all.
Yeah, Louis is.
He's phenomenal. He's phenomenal.
Really good.
You
well,
don't
that's
even
the thing.
You don't even realize, oh, that's Louis Anderson being his mom. It's seamless. And it
yeah,
makes
it
no
is.
Sense well, to me how it's so seamless.
Well,
but it
the
is.
First, I remember when we were shooting it and they showed me the makeup to Louis Anderson, not CK. And they had a lot of makeup on him, and I'm like, he doesn't need any.
No.
He doesn't. So we didn't
No, he's a handsome woman on his own.
he's a very I was talking to Louis, and he has Louis Anderson. He has like 9 siblings, and I was just saying, Louis, where do you fall in line, you know, in your siblings? And he goes, almost successful.
Do you think that Chip doesn't like Martha, or is he just, he has blinders on, he's oblivious, he hasn't even looked up long enough to see, wow, this is a really decent person that I should be nice to?
I think it's the latter, and I think okay. he needs to see that eventually. Right now he's in his own head, but I think that's the path that'll probably have to, I mean... who knows if this thing will go, but that's where I would like to take it is to dig deeper into and also give Martha a bit of a history and past. I was trying to think of what that would be, and I have no idea. But
stripper
would be nice. Well, we built into the early
don't
season.
Don't look at me like that. It was a joke.
Martha is the kind and sweet.
No,
well,
that's why I said
him
that.
For Martha that she does volunteer work to do conjugal visits to prison. But,
she would do that, though.
But
that
was too jokey, I think.
But she wouldn't. She'd be good
she would be good
it.
At it. She would be good at it. Yeah.
She would conjugal the crap out of them.
What is that? What is the definition of conjugal?
I don't know. I assume
like
sex,
to...
but I don't know.
Hey, go conjugal yourself. You can't say that.
I don't
right?
know. I don't yeah. know how that word is used.
Kevin uses a lot of words interchangeably, so it doesn't always make
whatever
sense.
Whatever comes up, man.
Why did you decide, and again, we're talking about the first episode of Baskets, which you can see tonight on FX. Why did you decide that Chip needs a twin brother, Dale?
Well, I've been playing this twin, this other character for a few years, which is my twin brother.
Where?
I did it. I used to do it on stage, and I was Jimmy Kimmel's sidekick for a week when he first started. Right. Mm-hmm. And I did it for the first time. I did that character on his show. That was the first time I'd ever done it in front of anybody besides kids at high school. But so I didn't want to do that character, but the director said that he thought it would be a good idea to kind of layer in some family stuff. So it's kind of the Christmas with the Clumps version of I'm trying to do that kind of what comedians do is play a lot of different things. But it helps with the family dynamic. And also, Chip doesn't talk that much in the show, and Dale is very verbose, and I wanted to make sure he was the talkative one, and Chip is quiet.
Dale's not very nice to you.
Well, there's the sympathy for Chip, is that Dale mm-hmm. is incredibly mean to Chip. Dale's the meanest one. He's very, very mean.
I was thinking about this, Zach. The fact that you got this show on the air is a testament to how good it is, but also to the fact that you've got a track record and you're, you know, a funny guy and everything like that. You could do anything. You could do movies. You can do stand up. You can do singing. You can do anything. I mean, I have no question here.
Wow.
Yeah, me either. I was.
I have no question here.
I felt like that was a build up.
It sounded like it was going somewhere.
How did you pick this show?
It lends itself to this because from what I've heard of FX with different people that have come in, they let people be. And there's not these notes and there's not these things like that.
That was when Louis C.K. Called me. That was his pitch, is they'll leave. They won't. You can do your thing.
Yeah.
Their notes have been really good. I agreed with their notes. Kind of the criticism of the show is, you know, you hear the early parts of it even when you're making it. But their notes have been really great, and they've left us alone. I have no complaints. And that's just rare, and that's why I decided to try to figure it out. In the movie business, this kind of thing would never be made right now.
Are you good at taking notes?
Because
I feel like I would sort of be just anti-note no matter what. Like, if there's a note, oh, come on.
I am anti any kind of business. The bleeding of the business people in with the actory people, or whatever you want to call them. Sometimes it works really well, but often it just doesn't work. And I think the FX people are smart enough, or maybe dumb enough, I don't know yet, to just leave.
Doesn't matter, right?
We'll know at 10:30 tonight.
We'll know by 10:30 tonight. Oh, God. God. I'm going to Canada. I can't take the pressure.
How'd you like the part where you get to play a rodeo clown, and did you have any interactions with actual bulls?
I mean, there were bulls there on set, there's a stunt.
You have a stunt double to
there's
get hit.
There's a stunt
by,
gentleman,
right?
Yes, yeah. That does it, Hayden. That gets hit. And a couple of actually real rodeo clowns that we had to hire.
Tell us about them.
Well, we use real rodeo people. I got to tell you, rodeo people are good people. They're really good people. They're
rodeo
fun.
People, just those words, to me, sort of is a punchline. You know what I mean? Like,
right. Rodeo.
What are they like?
They're rodeo people are good, hearty stock.
Is that good?
Yeah, I mean, that's a compliment where I'm from. My dad would always tell my sister, like, your friend Tiffany, she's good stock.
Okay, so that's like good.
It's good stock.
It's a good eater, people.
Good eater.
I love it. That's awesome.
That's a compliment from my dad. Okay. Good eater.
All right.
All right. 10 episodes, Zach, that's what we got?
Yeah.
And they'll air most of those, right?
Yeah, I mean... You said it is. It's only 10, right?
No. That's not what I mean. Well, I just mean how many can we look forward to enjoying? That's all. There are 10.
There are 10, yes.
That's cool.
Yes. I think there are 10. Yes, I know there are 10.
If you don't know, who does know? Martha?
Call Martha Kelly.
Call Martha, she would know.
She texts me all the time about when we were creating the show, none of it was a creative question that she would have. She would ask me, like, when we stay close to Bakersfield, which motel, and should I have an alias? Like, Martha, I don't... That's not a question for me.
But Martha's name on the show is Martha.
I know. No one knows who she is. That's told her her alias should be Jennifer Garner because that was the her show.
Yeah, alias.
That is awesome. Yeah. All right, Zach, I'm so sad that we are out of time. This has gone by very fast, but we are huge fans of yours. I hear that The Hangover is the best movie
of
all
correct.
Time.
That's correct. Yeah. I'm standing by that.
Of all time. And you've seen The Bridge Over Rivers Kwai?
Right. See, that's my point, Kevin. That's my point. In a world where The Godfather exists, you're not allowed to call The Hangover your favorite movie of all time.
I'm just saying it's my favorite movie.
Baskets, tonight at 10 on the FX. Don't miss it. Trust us on this. We always say this. If you're a Kevin and Bean fan, we know you have that kind of a warped sense of humor. This show is for you. Absolutely check it out. It's so much fun. Zach, it's great to see you, man. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me in.
Jim Rome on the program later on today. Also, Dr. Drew Pinsky with his weekly visit. And next hour, we're going to be looking for you to share your best Irvine Meadows memories. It's been a lot of people's favorite concert venue over the past few decades, and it's going away after this weekend. So that's coming up here on K-Rock 2.
First, it's time for a new feature called...
So That Happened.
So That Happened. There's a lot of weird stories in the news that where the reality is just much worse than fiction. And this is one of them. Wife wins $1 million trying to show husband lottery tickets are a waste of money. Here's the story.
A woman in North Carolina wanted to teach her husband a lesson about wasting money, but it backfired in the best way imaginable. 57-year-old Glenda Blackwell's husband, Buddy, asked her to buy two Powerball tickets this weekend. She said she wanted to make a point that the tickets were a waste of money.
Just buy Buddy a couple of tickets.
Right? What's your problem,
Buddy? Buddy just wants some tickets.
Come on.
Buy him some. You don't need to teach him a lesson in your 50s. He wants a lottery ticket. Buy it. What's wrong with you? Come on. Buddy deserves it.
Glenda bought a $10 scratch-off ticket instead at this store, not expecting it to win. But lo and behold, it did. The ticket was a $1 million winner.
Think she was pissed.
So that happened.
A $1 million winner.
Now, they were husband and wife?
Yes.
Oh, so it's not like she can just say, well, sorry, didn't win.
Well, I don't know. The next part of the story describes who's doing what with the money.
Blackwell opted for the lump sum of $415,503 after taxes. She says she plans to buy a home with that money and set up college funds for her two granddaughters. The couple says after this, they won't be buying as many lottery tickets in the future.
I feel like Buddy doesn't have a lot of say.
Buddy has no say in anything. She's buying a house. She's setting up college funds.
Buddy.
Hey, Buddy's the one that wanted the ticket, right? How does that work if I ask somebody to buy me a lottery ticket? That's my money, right?
It is your money.
It is.
So that's Buddy's.
Unless he didn't give her the money to buy the ticket and she paid for it with her own funds,
but
maybe that's the angle.
If they have a mixed account, still his.
Yeah. And let me also ask you guys this. If you buy a $10 scratcher and win $1 million, would you be likely to never play the lottery again? Or would you think, I can win.
Of course.
Yeah. I should play again.
I'm going to play it more. Yeah. See, I told you we won $1 million. Now let's stop. That doesn't even make sense.
Doesn't make sense, right.
So that happened.
All right,
that did happen.
Here's story number two. A stranger's heartbreaking note found on car teaches driver a very harsh parking lesson. Oh. How many times have you gone into a parking lot? And you've seen a car that's, like, taken up two spots, crooked, so that you can't get in next to it, and you get super frustrated. Mm-hmm.
Sure.
This happened, and this is the note that was left on the car. To whoever owns this car, my grandfather smoked his whole life. I was about 10 years old when my mother said to him, if you want to see your grandchildren graduate, you need to stop immediately. Tears welled up in his eyes when he realized... exactly what was at stake. Again, this is a note that was left on a car that was parked poorly.
Okay.
Tears were in his eyes. Mm-hmm. He quit cold turkey that very day. 3 years later, he died of lung cancer. We were very close, and his death destroyed me. My mother said to me, please never smoke. Don't put your family through that. Through what your grandfather put you through? I've never touched a cigarette. I must say, I feel a very slight sense of regret as to never having done it because your parking job was so effing bad it gave me cancer anyway.
Oh, my.
Jesus Christ, please learn to park.
That took a turn.
How great is that note?
Did not see that coming.
So that happened.
And finally, I'm
great is that? He's got a whole backstory. His grandfather when he was 10.
And you know the person who peeled that note off of his car windshield is like, what is this going to get around to having anything to do with my parking?
Oh, my God.
Your parking gave me cancer anyway.
I love it.
Oh, man.
Oh, wow.
And finally, here's the headline. And we always do this. We always play this game. Would you click on this story? I assume all of you would. Semi-naked man found dead on Spanish airport bench with deli meat in his buttocks and his genitals in a tuna can.
Well, I think you need more information on that. You got to click on that.
Police in Spain are investigating the bizarre death of a British man who was found semi-naked, bound to a bench outside of the airport with sandwich meat placed on his body and his genitals in an open tuna can.
What?
That's my question. How did that... I mean, you know how sometimes, like, gangs leave a calling card of how they kill people?
Mm-hmm. Somebody, like an ace of spades on the body or something?
Yes, somebody using, like, deli meat?
Well,
I hope
not. That's
our message? It's ridiculous. According to the BBC, the guy's 51 years old. He was found Friday bound to a bench outside of the Malaga airport. The British broadcaster reported the man's body was found with his hands tied behind his back.
Wow.
He'd been stripped of his clothing from the waist down.
No. There's no way to live a life, you guys.
It's no way to end it. The Metro UK reported the victim was found with deli meat placed on each of his buttocks. Now, why would that happen?
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Maybe he had a beef with a butcher, and he's like, I'm leaving my mark. No?
Okay, that's one theory.
Thank you.
That's as good a theory as any. The guy had deli meat on his butt.
I mean, if drunk guys come along and they find a corpse on a park bench, I don't know how it ever occurs to them that deli meat is the play.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, you prop them up or you put them in a funny position or, you know, do something, but I can't imagine why that works.
He's the cold cut killer. That's what this guy is. But then he didn't stop with that. His genitals were placed in an open can of tuna.
Oh, what, dear.
What's happening here? There were no obvious signs of violence on his body, but the position he was found in suggested foul play.
Oh, really? Did it hurt? None of that occurred naturally?
They are on the case.
He didn't kill himself and then put ham on his ass? That's not what happened.
What's happening here?
I'll tell you what's happening.
So that happened.
You going to be hanging on the side of the stage for that song on Saturday, Allie?
I do love the Lumineers.
You do love the Lumineers. They're playing along with Panic at the Disco and Empire of the Sun and Weezer, Chili Peppers, Garbage, Fits in the Tantrum, so much more. Again, we got your tickets you can win just after 8 o'clock this morning. We're going to be looking for your fan song. We're going to ask you to write and record or parody somebody else's song about your love for the Weenie Roast and why you need to be there. So that's coming up this morning. Front row tickets, by the way, if I didn't mention that. All right. I try, and Kevin, I know you do the same thing, try to filter out email from anybody out of Boston, just in general.
Sure.
We don't need to hear anything people from Boston have to say. But somehow Todd's email got through. Kevin Bean, I'm an avid...
Spell Todd for us.
Well, I think his joke was, his name is spelled Todd, T-O-D-D.
Oh, okay.
He spelled it T-A-W-D at the end, and I think he's kind of making fun of the way the Boston people can't speak English.
Right.
Hey, Kevin and Bean, I'm an avid podcast listener of your show. I've been listening for the past 7 years from Boston. What's up, Allie? I just discovered the best thing while listening to the podcast on my iPhone. As I was listening, I missed something you said, and I went to hit the back 15 seconds button. But I accidentally hit the speed button instead. Now, for folks who don't listen to the podcast on a phone, that they do have those options. If you want to go back 15 seconds or go forward 15 seconds, or if you want to make the, for whatever reason, if you want to make the thing go twice as fast or half as fast, you can do that. Now, what do you suppose that feature is there for?
I don't know. And I can't imagine that any of us said anything that was worth going back 15 seconds for.
Ever.
Ever.
Well, sometimes you miss a punchline or you miss a guest introduction's name. I can understand that. But I don't understand why they give you the options of speeding up and slowing down. I don't get that. Anyway, so I hit the speed button instead, Todd says. That started speeding up the show. And then after I hit the speed button a couple more times, it ended up on half speed. And I have to tell you, when you play your show at half speed, it sounds like you guys are doing the show completely drunk off your ass. I've never laughed so hard in my life. In fact, I listened to the rest of the show about 20 minutes more, all in half speed. I might start listening to the show this way from now on. You guys need to play some parts of the show in half speed to have a good laugh. Love the show. Fire beer mug, Todd from Boston. All right. I had not tried this before, But I did last night go to Friday's podcast right as we were coming on the air at 5:30 to see what it sounds like. So I'm going to hit the tape, and it's going to pick up right before we come on live. And let's see what Todd found so amusing. You guys ready?
Yep.
Yeah.
And now.
Okay, guys. Hey, guess what? You just got blamed.
Yeah! Our feature presentation. We take such joy in such stupidity. That is accurate.
Yeah, that's the show.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin Beachel. It's Friday, the 6th of May. What's up, you guys?
You know.
Hanging and banging.
Right.
What? Like we do.
Talking to hits. Like you do.
That's right.
Everybody excited about the weekend?
Sure.
Listen to Allie's. Listen to Allie's yes, by the way.
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah. Doing anything? Going any place? Living in dreams?
Living any dreams? Yeah. No, I don't think so.
I am.
My dream is for more sleep.
Are you living the dream this weekend, Allie?
It's like 5 days I'm working.
Yeah.
I noticed that, by the way. So,
I didn't want to say anything and jinx it yesterday, but when you showed up 4 days in a week yesterday, I thought that was some sort of new world record.
How are you feeling today?
I think I'm going to make it.
What do you guys think? Wow, we're so much more interesting
disturbing.
That way.
Disturbing.
Not interesting, but just disturbing, yeah.
You guys want a little more?
Oh, yes. Please.
Really?
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a second wind, or are you just running on fumes now?
No, I'm all good. I feel better than I ever have.
Couldn't even get that out.
Kevin, you're all right?
I'm fine. I'm good.
Wow.
So there you go, ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Todd from Boston with a new exciting way for you to listen to this
show.
How about that? It only takes twice as long, but I think it might be worth it.
Good luck, everybody.
Ralph came in a few days ago with a story about Academy Award-winning actress Gwyneth Paltrow, who, by the way, I'm a huge fan of. I think she's a terrific actress.
Right.
But she's also a little bit of a nut job. She definitely seems to have too much time and too much money because she's always trying crazy things. And she did an interview recently with the New York Times where, you know, she runs that Goop website where she advises people on doing things like steam cleaning your vagina and things like that. A lot of stuff that maybe is medically suspect. She's talking about in this interview about doing a sound bath, for instance.
A sound bath?
Yes.
Which is...
Not sure.
Okay.
Sounds like the type of thing where you feel, my guess is, just based on the name, that maybe you get clean by sound?
Like the vibrations of the sound?
Vibrations,
like
yeah.
Like it just cleans your aura?
Maybe that's what it is. I don't know. In fact, we've got her on the phone. We'll ask her about that.
Oh.
She also, in this interview, and this made a lot of headlines, talked about getting stung by bees on purpose.
Huh.
And I'm not sure what you would use that for, but apparently it is supposed to be soothing to people. And it's been around for thousands of years. And again, there's no medical background on this, but she is all about them bees. And Gwyneth Paltrow joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now.
Ow,
hey, Gwyneth.
Ow.
You okay?
Ow.
Gwyneth?
1 second. Ow. Hold on. Okay, I'm done.
Wow.
Hi, guys. How are you?
We're good.
Hi.
Was that some of your bee therapy right there?
Yes. I was going through apitherapy,
mm-hmm.
and it's great because it relieves scarring and inflammation. I feel so much better now that I'm covered with bee stings.
Why is that better? That seems like it would be painful, and I don't see what the positive effect of putting poison in your body is.
No, the bee's venom soothes the body, and it removes inflammation and scarring. And it helps you stay young forever. It's awesome.
Of course,
I am covered now with unsightly welts. But I believe they'll go away. That's what they tell me.
I know that this has been around for thousands of years, but there's zero scientific background for this. You don't care about that?
Listen, let me tell you something. Science and beauty are very different.
Okay.
And sometimes what so-called science doesn't find any truth in, you can actually use to fool people.
To fool people.
So you're probably charging a lot of money to sell bees to people, I would imagine. Is this all a big racket?
It's only 15 cents a bee.
And how many bees do you need?
A million.
Oh.
See, that adds up.
But I have lots of therapies that science necessarily doesn't find any redeeming value in, but it works for me and it can work for you too.
Now, you look great.
Thank you. I
suspect that has more to do with just great genes and being wealthy enough to afford the best of everything. I don't think that what you're pushing is going to help the average person.
No, I beg to differ. I would look awful. I would look like Tan Mom.
Wow.
If I didn't keep up with my regular regimens. And sometimes you have to think outside the box. That's all.
Okay.
What is that?
My cow therapy.
Cow therapy.
Cow therapy.
Yes. Where I.
How does that work?
Well, it's also called manure therapy. Do you need more of an explanation?
Oh,
no.
Wow. Where are you?
What does that do for you?
Oh, it makes you. makes your skin tighter.
Right.
Okay. And more luminescent.
Okay. Sure.
You're shinier.
Okay.
So you just rub it all over your skin?
Yes.
Okay.
And in your hair.
Oh.
Okay.
And but you need it fresh from the cow. That's why I have a cow.
I see.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh. It's time for my cry therapy.
Your
cry therapy?
Yes, where I just douse myself in baby tears.
What does that do?
It detoxifies.
Uh-huh.
And also amplifies your chakras,
right,
which will allow you to absorb more nutrients from the auras.
I don't think that.
I feel like you just made that up.
Oh.
What is that, Gwyneth?
Kent?
That's Godzilla.
What?
Why? And what does that do for you?
It helps me feed off of fear of Asians. When they get scared, I absorb their energy, and it keeps me young.
Okay.
Oh.
What's that?
Time for my whale therapy.
A whale? You have a whale?
Yes. I get swallowed by a whale, and then I build a fire inside and make the whale sneeze, and I escape.
And what does that do for you?
I have no idea. I saw it in Pinocchio. It looked pretty cool.
FedEx Ambassadors, by the way, we've been lucky enough to see live a couple of times at K-Rock shows. They are great, and you will love them at night number one of the sold-out K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2016 show coming up on Saturday, December 11th. We're giving away tickets to that show, and the following night, night number two at the Forum, we're playing a scavenger hunt here this morning, and we'll give you the new list of items that you need to try to win those tickets for both nights coming up in about 10 minutes or so right here on K-Rock.
I've never heard of this before, but a woman had a dress delivered. She bought it online. She had a new, beautiful dress that was delivered, and the look on the girl's face when she realized that the purchase came with a stunning surprise, a mouse skeleton sewn into the garment. Now, it doesn't say that it ate its way in. It says it was sewn in.
That just seems like somebody who's making a dress is not paying attention if a mouse is able to crawl into the work that you're doing, right? I would think almost anybody would notice that.
I can't imagine everybody wouldn't notice that. The mouse appears to have climbed into the dress while it was being sewn and taken a nap there and then died after it was sewn in.
Mm. So she got a dress delivered in the mail with a mouse skeleton sewn into the hem,
yes. Basically.
I mean,
that seems bad.
That can't be on purpose. That can't be a trend, right?
Well, I hope not.
Please tell me that's not a trend. Please tell me that's not a new thing we're doing, where we're sewing little baby skeletons into dresses.
Well, we do have an expert, thank God. Dave has lined up for us from Nick's House of Fashion. Nick. Good morning, Nick.
Hey, how you doing?
We're good. How are you?
Nick here.
Hi, Nick.
Hey, I want to correct your guy there. One of your guys said that we're sewing baby skeletons into dresses. No, it was a mouse.
Mouse skeleton.
Oh, it was a full-grown mouse. I apologize.
No, it wasn't a full-grown mouse. You said don't sew baby skeletons into dresses.
I see.
That's gross.
Okay, so.
This was a mouse. It wasn't like a human baby.
So you're saying mice are fine.
Not fine. Look, it's not ideal.
Why?
Well, what do you want?
I want a dress without a mouse.
Oh, all right, Queen of England.
Now, you're sure that you're Nick from Nick's House of Fashion?
Yeah, I'm sure I'm Nick from Nick's House of Fashion, yeah.
Okay, you don't sound like the kind of guy that I would expect necessarily that would be a fashion designer.
Oh, that's racist.
Right? Well, I don't know that it's racist,
or
but I just...
Or something.
There's a lot wrong with
it. Look, I'm working hard. I got a factory here. I'm making dresses. What do you want from me?
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah, that noise on the phone that I'm hearing, Nick, those aren't other mice, are they?
We got mice. Yeah, we got mice. The factory's loaded with them. We got mice. I'm not going to lie to you. We got mice.
Okay. Right. Have you tried to somehow get rid of them?
No,
put out the glue traps
I love
at all?
Mice. No, I want to be surrounded by mice.
Hey, you're the one that's sewing it into a dress. Don't yell at me.
Well, of course I'm trying to get rid of them. What do you want from me?
I want you to get rid of them before you ship the dress.
Oh, okay, Dr. Terminator.
Oh, that's too hard. That's too much.
Why don't you come down here and take care of my mice?
That's too much for me
get
to expect.
Get your ass out here to Penshawk in New Jersey, and you get rid of all the mice in my factory. I tried everything. I tried bait. I tried traps. I tried glue pads. We had a cat. Unfortunately, I sewed the cat up into a parka.
Oh, wow.
And we shipped it out.
You don't seem like you're very good at this.
I work quickly, okay? I'm one guy. I'm making a ton of dresses.
Right.
I'm a house of fashion. I got to make shorts. I got to make shirts. I got to make suits. I got to make dresses. I've got to make stoles. I got to make culottes. I got to make jumpers. I got to make pantsuits. And I do what I can. And I got it. Once in a while, a mouse gets sewn into it. What do you want from me?
I can hear a lot of mice there. It sounds like maybe that's
right,
happening.
Exactly. So I should be given some credit for less mice being
no,
sewn into
I'm
my
saying
clothing.
A person
we have so many mice and rats and roaches.
Right, but
and
that's not the
lizards.
That's not our fault.
And iguanas. We got all kinds of things here. And you're complaining about one mouse? I should get a freaking award. I should get the Medal of Honor for not sending everything I got here out with a mouse.
We didn't realize your job was quite so challenging, Nick.
Why do you make some dresses and see how mouse-free you are?
I don't see that happening.
Last week I sent out a hat with a dog in it.
What?
Oh,
that's
really?
Impossible.
Yeah, it was awful. But it keeps your head very warm because it was a big dog.
Okay.
I'll bet. By the space, but now they're laughing
at the face saying, wake up, you need to make money. My name is...
A little bit, I can hear that, sure.
Slim Shady.
I think we got it. Okay. Hey, it's Kevin Abicho here on a Wednesday morning. Before we get into this feature here, we love our listeners, right?
Yes.
So much.
All of them.
Back in the day, I used to love quite a few of them.
You did, yes. then you got married and that ended.
That all went away.
We appreciate our listeners. We thank our listeners. We are grateful that they choose to spend time with us either live on K-Rock or listening to the podcast afterwards. And the listeners who call in, nothing but love for them as well, correct?
Absolutely.
All true, Bean.
Okay.
All true.
Having said that, why are you now going to crap on 10 of them?
We bring you... the best callers of 2016.
And by best.
Sometimes worst.
All right. I wondered what you meant by that.
Yeah. They're entertaining either way. Sometimes they're funny. Sometimes they're horrible.
But in this particular case, they're all bad, right?
No, not all of them.
Some of them are good.
Some of them are good.
Okay.
The first one was bad, though, and it must have been the day we came back from vacation in January because we were talking about New Year's resolutions.
Okay.
Oh,
and how lame most of them are.
Mm-hmm.
And, man, she came out guns a-blazing, I'll tell you.
Oh.
Let's try Angela Sandemus up next on the Kevin and Bean Show. Angela, thanks for calling. What's going on?
Hi.
Hi there.
I've been listening to you guys for so long. I finally get through and I get a lame... Thanks a lot.
Tell us what your New Year's resolution.
New Year's resolution was to actually lose weight. You know how people do that all the time, and then they don't do it. I actually succeeded. So, not so lame.
We didn't say it was lame. All we said was hello, thanks for calling. That's it.
We may have said so far the ones we're getting are lame, but you're a little sensitive.
Maybe you're hungry. You maybe need a carb?
Wow, you need some chocolate.
You need to start eating again, Angela. I don't like skinny Angela, I gotta be honest.
I don't like skinny Angela.
So skinny Angela is one.
Yeah.
of the best calls of 2016.
Right.
Next, we were talking about weed. What was the context? Do you remember, Ralph?
Oh, boy. This kettle of fish.
Right?
I came in curious about the social culture that surrounds people who smoke weed. I said, unlike a lot of things you do recreationally to take the edge off, like drinking a cocktail or whatever, it seems like some people, and not all, but some people build their whole lives around the fact that they smoke weed. They wear the T-shirts, and they go to the conventions, and they get the bumper stickers, and it really becomes part of their identity.
Almost all of their identity, some of them.
Some of them are like full, that's how they identify themselves, is just, I'm all about the weed.
Right.
So I was just curious, just only being an occasional smoker myself, what that passion was about. What was the phenomenon of people who really live the cannabis culture and make it part of their lives?
And that's what Ashley got upset.
And it was just an open-ended question. I had no predisposition, no judgment. I just wanted some information. I wanted to talk to people who lived like that. And then I was like, just bring me the information. Teach me. That's what I said.
Now, sometimes I'll turn the volume on a caller so that they're on the air while we're still talking.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Most of the time they don't interrupt because they hear us talking.
Not right. Ashley.
Ashley, if you listen closely at the beginning, starts with, am I on the air?
Ashley, thank you so much for holding on. What do you have to offer for us?
Yes, you're on the air. We were talking.
Wow.
I think you need to smoke.
I'll just have to say, you sound so ignorant with your generalization on people who smoke marijuana.
Ashley, you're misunderstanding. We don't care.
Don't be so defensive. You're not addressing what we're talking about.
You're being quite rude. I've gone to these conventions myself. I'm very active in the world of marijuana usage.
Good for you.
How are you so aggressive?
Wait. Just smoke a bowl and relax.
All right.
We just got rid of her.
She's the angriest stoner in the world.
She really is.
The angriest stoner in the world.
We were not a good fit with what's her name?
Ashley,
yes.
Next, Allie was talking about how she hates hiking because somehow it always leads to murder.
Dateline, every episode, cruises and hiking.
Cruises and hiking.
And Alex is to me, a good caller because he called in and he's the world's best storyteller.
Every morning I go to work. I read that there's a hiker that fell,
right.
Another hiker that disappeared,
right.
That we find human skulls 10 years later of these hikers, and everybody invites me to go, hey, let's go hiking. I'm like, God, why would I want to go hiking?
They want to kill you, Alex. That's
exactly
why.
Right. I guess this hiking thing, once I went with my uncle that he lives in Tarzana, he goes, hey, let's go hiking, but with bikes.
Let him.
Let's go.
Hiking with bikes.
But with bikes.
And go Raiders.
Hiking, but with bikes. I'm like, okay, so he has like a $5,000 bicycle, and he gave me a $100 bicycle. So when we started hiking, and the first rock I went over, I just tipped over and fell. I said, I just throw the towel. I'm no longer hiking from this. I retire from hiking for the rest of my life.
All right. Ladies and gentlemen, he is retired from hiking for the rest of his life, and I think you're making the right choice.
I love him too.
He's awesome.
The best. More best calls of 2016. We were talking about, would you buy a house if it had a history of death or ghosts or whatever?
Murder.
Sometimes they're cheaper.
Perhaps suicide, which is what brings us to this next caller.
He moved into a house like 2 months ago that the previous owner had committed suicide in.
Did they tell you?
Yeah, they have to. They have to disclose it if you're like on the market. I mean,
okay.
but we needed a place to live, so we were like, who cares?
Do you ever think about that as you're going through your day in your house?
It's like something weird happened in the house. We named the ghost Hank because we weren't sure. We don't know, like, the backstory, but if something goes wrong, we just were like, oh, that's just Hank, like, being, dead.
Just being Hank being dead.
That's just all dead.
That's just Hank being all dead.
Coming this fall on CBS, Dead Hank.
Again, love her.
Yeah, yep.
She's
awesome.
So good.
Here's another person that I couldn't love more.
Well, I had a great uncle that I didn't know about, and he left me his ice cream shop.
How cool is that?
I have not had done anything with it because I have no idea how to run an ice cream shop. So,
did you just close it down or sell it, or what did you do?
No, I still have the property.
When did you get the ice cream shop?
About 5 years ago.
5 years ago. He still has some research to do.
I feel like maybe you should Google faster.
What does it take to get you to do some research?
I... I don't know. I'm a vaudeville performer, so
same.
It's just, yeah. It's just something that I just don't have time for.
Right? Yeah, you know, I'm telling you, you're very busy as a vaudeville performer here in the 21st century.
Who's got time to research all of that free money when you're doing vaudeville?
Rex, I love you. Thank you for the call.
I hate that guy.
Well, it's all that time travel. I think that's why he's occupied. He has to go back to the 30s.
Could he have said anything that was just more unexpected in the world than a vaudeville performer?
He's pulling down so much mad cash doing the vaudeville circuit that he doesn't need to deal with that property.
I had totally forgotten about him, and I love him.
So, look, I tried to put them in order last night for a long time, and I couldn't. This is just the 10 best. You can rank them however you want, but there's five more.
Oh, wow. We got to take a break then and come back, because yes. I can't wait for these.
And we will do that right after.
Our friend Jimmy Kimmel joins us in studio, coming up right after the top of the hour.
Jimmy Kimborn.
That's Jimmy Kimmel, Rodney. He's going to be there, late night TV host, and completely unrelated to that, Santa Carl stops by to talk to the kids, coming up next half hour as well. It's one of the things we most look forward to every year. Right now, though, we're doing our countdown of the 10 best. Oh, do I need the echo?
Okay, tell me when.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Right now, it's time for the 10 best callers of the year. We're about halfway through right now. Did the first five. They were great, by the way. Our listeners brought it in 2016.
Here's the thing. Be angry or be funny, but just don't be dull. So I love all of these people.
Yeah.
All of these people so far are great.
Yeah.
This woman is very upset and thinks that Ralph, who runs Hollywood, should fix something for her.
Hey. I have a really important announcement.
Oh.
Okay, I'm very concerned, and this is for Ralph Garman. First of all, Ralph loves. But my problem is this. No one is talking about Twilight. No one is talking about Edward and Bella. No one is talking about the next book that was going to come out, which would have been Midnight Sun, but some a-hole released some of the draft online. Now, wow. Ralph Garman, since you're involved with Comic-Con, make this happen.
Okay.
Make this happen. Not only that, but where is Robert Pattinson and the core with this? I want them back together. I don't care. Make it happen.
What?
Make it happen.
Renee, you're obviously a teenager and you love Twilight.
Oh, no, girlfriend. No, I'm going to be 47. I'm hot. I got an ample bosom and that's my problem. Finding a t-shirt. Okay? I quote them when I get mad at my husband and he pisses me off.
Yeah, your husband, right.
Yes. Yes. Twilight forever. Poor Viva. Bye.
Twilight forever. Okay.
What about Robert and that whore?
Well, I want to know. I'm working hard on it. I am.
Since then?
I've been working tirelessly. I've got a team, and we're
how's that coming?
We're trying to bring back Twilight into the spotlight.
How is that her one thing that she needed
that
to
was
address?
Her, by the way, announcement.
Yes.
Wow.
You imagine everyone, she gets up and starts scanning the internet. What? Yahoo? Nothing. MSN? Nothing. She's looking for all the Twilight news. She's so frustrated.
Can you imagine if she actually had a husband, what that would be like?
Oh,
that would suck. This guy, I give all the points for delivery. This guy is fantastic. We were talking about Adele, and when she was in town, she was tweeting about a burrito that she had. Mm-hmm. And this guy brought it. How do we shut down the scalpers?
Hey, not about the scalpers. I got some information regarding the burrito.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
Yeah. All right. Do you know where Adele got the burrito that she tweeted about yesterday?
Yeah. It was Adele taco burrito with sour cream. Hello?
Oh.
It was hello? Adele taco
my
burrito.
My God.
Hello?
I just.
Anybody?
It was Adele
Allie?
Taco burrito.
I love you, Marty.
Allie?
I love you so
You're
much,
the best.
Marty.
I'm glad you called. Thank you.
How great was he?
He's the best.
That's pretty strong. That's
he started
strong.
Naming us, Allie. What about you?
Hello.
You like that, right?
Hello? Yeah. he was pretty magical.
All right, we were talking about karma at one point because I think it involved me losing my wallet.
Is that 1-877 karma for kids?
But I'm not positive that this guy understands how karma works.
Yeah, so I found a wallet outside a liquor store that I go to all the time, and it had some cash in it. I didn't bother to look at the ID. I just took the cash, threw away the wallet, and then just bought some pot and had a good time that day.
So Allie brought up, well, what about the karma of that situation? Did that ever come and haunt you?
You got to look at it the other way, too. I mean, you guys talk about bad karma, but how do you know that wasn't good karma?
How do we know that wasn't good? Oh, you mean like that was paying you back for something that happened earlier?
Well, not necessarily paying me back, but I mean, if it's there, then it must have been there for a reason.
No! It was because somebody lost it. It was because somebody lost it, Johnny. Why didn't you make some effort?
He was being paid good karma.
It had to be there for a reason.
What was good karma?
Well, come on, you guys. What's wrong with good karma? Johnny makes a good point.
These are the best calls of 2016.
What are the odds that Johnny's ever done anything in his life that he needs to get paid back for by karma? Because all the good works that he does.
Pretty low. Odds are pretty low.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Here's a woman that surprised me by her treatment of her boss.
My manager kept having me open for him and do overtime, and he wouldn't pay me. So I came back in the evening, walked in, threw my pumps against the wall, grabbed him, shoved his face into the big federal poster that explains overtime and how to calculate it, and I took his nose like I was highlighting and made him go across the part that said, this is how you calculate overtime, and I smacked him, and I said, I'll deny it. If you tell anyone that I hit you, I'm going to tell all our coworkers you got beat up by a girl.
Wow!
Tiffany, that's dark.
You rubbed his nose in
that's
it, literally.
Like a dog.
Did you smack him with a paper?
Yes.
No, I smacked his head into the wall. Listen, you don't mess with my family. You
right.
don't mess with my friends that I consider family. And you sure as hell never touched my money.
Right.
You hit any of those three.
Okay, don't yell at us, Tiffany. We're on your side, okay? We're not messing with you.
So what happened? Tiffany, we love you. We're on Team Tiffany.
What happened?
He quit. And I got promoted.
Oh, wow.
My.
So the message here is that violence does pay.
Correct.
Wow. How about that?
Wow.
How do you pick a number one out of all these calls?
Were we threatened, by the way, if we did not put her in the top 10 list of the year? Was she coming after
Pretty
us?
Much. Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much. And finally, we have Frank.
Oh.
And I love
Frank
so much as well.
Frank.
Now, who is Frank? Which one is Frank?
Oh, I'll play him for you. It's a miracle you're alive.
Yeah, I had a gun put on me, and they put it to my forehead. They pulled the trigger, and the bullet fell out. It misfired.
Was this a gang
no,
thing?
I had a girlfriend and two best friends that live on the block, and there was a new gang that was trying to make a name for themselves, and they told me not to come on the block. And when you tell me not to do something, I'm going to do it anyway. So they pulled the gun on me and told me, what am I doing on the block? I said, you know, whatever, and then they pulled the trigger. It misfired, and I didn't stick around for them to pull the trigger again. I was gone, yeah.
All right, I feel like that's not your only brush with death. Am I right, Frank?
No, I went off a cliff in Mexico. When I went off a cliff in Mexico with my cousin 21 years ago almost, and when they brought me up, they said I should be dead, more or less walking and talking. My cousin died, though. R.I.P., Carlos.
R.I.P., Carlos.
It's just a throwaway. My cousin died, though. R.I.P., Carlos.
Yeah, it's like a hashtag.
R.I.P., Carlos.
It's a pretty good batch, you guys. Yes, pretty good batch.
Those are your best callers of 2016.